Good morning. The first lesson is found in Ezekiel 36, 24 to 28. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. The word of the Lord. The psalm for today is Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is found in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 43. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. Good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Jeff, and it is a joy and a privilege to be with you as usual on a Sunday morning in God's house, to be gathered in his courts to give him praise. We'd ask that you would keep Pastor Rick and his wife Bonnie in your prayers as they travel and have a much-needed time on the road, enjoying some beautiful weather and family. So if you would please pray with me as we get started this morning. Lord, we pray We pray that you would be stored up in our hearts. We pray that we would store you, not just us individually, but rather we as your church, that you would store up, that you would stir us to the place where our eyes would be fixed on you, that we would walk according to your will, purpose, and plan, and that which flows out of our hearts individually and as a church, as a reflection of your body, that we would represent you well. We pray these things in your holy and precious name, Jesus. Amen. Pretty straightforward gospel lesson there in Luke chapter 6. That which is stored up in our hearts comes out of our mouths. A good tree bears good fruit, a bad tree bears bad fruit. Simple, straightforward, but cuts to our heart, cuts to the point of that which God is calling us and challenging us. Today, I want us to walk in the reality and understand that God's ways are higher than our ways. There is something here. We're going to spend the majority of our time in Philippians chapter 2, but we want to understand something right out of the gate, and that is that God's ways are higher than our ways. God's got a plan, a purpose for us in unity through the community, through the body of Christ, through the body of believers, as we reflect God to the world. For me, if I were to put a title to this sermon, it would be The Unity That Comes Through Humility. So Lord, we pray that you would make us humble today, as you are humble. May there be more of you reflected in us as a church, in us as followers of Jesus. May the world see your purpose and plan to restore all of humanity to right relationship with you. In our 21st century world today, humility is kind of a hard thing. There's a paradox that is at work. We live in a world in our 21st century that this world teaches what seems to be something a little bit different. In our world today, this world teaches us that this is where we work, this is where our kids, our families, everybody in our community is growing up in this Western world. And in culture, the influence that so many aspects of our lives encounter, it's not one of humility. It's not one of community. It's not one of a unity that points to the gospel. This culture that influences so much of our daily lives, we are told consciously and unconsciously so frequently that in order to make it in this world, to be successful, to do all that we can, well, we have to be unyieldingly resilient, intense in our discipline, and forward thinking. Is there anything wrong with those things? Absolutely not. But God's ways are higher than our ways. God's got something that he wants to do in us and through us. And I think it is illustrated tremendously well in Philippians chapter 2. It is illustrated in the good news of Jesus how in our Western world, we need to flip things over. We live in a very individualistic world where me, I is always at the forefront of so many things. We don't always think in terms of what is best for the community, what is best for those around us. God is inviting us to see things a little bit differently. Not that we individually are not important or valuable, but rather that there is something powerful, something significant in community. In particular, in God's people. In the body of believers, in those that are following the way of Jesus. And we see this illustrated in Philippians chapter 2. But today in our world, I came across an article in Forbes magazine. And again, nothing here that I'm going to share with you is bad. But it just illustrates the world in which we live in. Here in this Forbes magazine, there were 10 things, 10 traits that are found in highly successful individuals. And that's the key, individuals. these 10 things that you would see in highly successful individuals: resilience, mental toughness, being goal-oriented, discipline and dedication, routine and rituals, adaptability, teamwork and collaboration, ability to visualize success, a drive to improve, and being willing to be a risk taker. Again, nothing wrong, but these are traits found in individuals in our day and age and world that lead to success. And we are constantly bombarded from a young age to see in terms of the individual success and how to achieve it. This same article talked about a paradox, because you'll notice that humility wasn't on the list. This paradox of humility is seen in our culture, in our Western world, humility is seen as an individual moral value. But in terms of success, in terms of community, in terms of how it affects those that are around us, or how you may be viewed if you are one who is humble, well, this paradox would say individually it's a good character trait, but collectively it's actually a sign of weakness. It's a shortcoming. God's got something better in mind, though. God wants to turn things right side up. God wants to think about things in a little bit of a different way. God is calling us as Christ followers to something that is greater, something that is more beautiful, something that is powerful and wonderful and tremendous, and it'll transform our lives if we let Him work in our hearts. And that is the unity that comes through humility. The unity that His desire is for the body of Christ together. It's not just a tagline. It's not just something that looks really good as a slogan for a church. Unity is near and dear to our Father's heart. So much so, we'll get to it in a little bit, but in John 17, Jesus Himself prayed for the unity that we would have in Him. But here we're going to take a look at Philippians chapter 2, in particular here, after the time of Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension. The church is beginning to flourish. And here, Philippians, Paul is traveling. We need to get a little snapshot of Philippians and the city, the community of Philippi. So here, this had been a community that was, prior to Jesus' death, was a Roman colony, mostly of military presence, 10 to 15,000 people. So it is a well-established community. It's about 10 miles inland from the Aegean Sea. But it is this Roman colony. And the church began to be established there about 50 AD. There wasn't a synagogue, but there were people there that were beginning to hear the good news of Jesus. There were people there that were beginning to be transformed by the renewing of their heart and their mind. And there were people there that were beginning to form the church. And we, the church, can hear these words and be encouraged. So how was God at work in this community, in Philippi? Well, as there was not a synagogue, but the people that were gathering there, there was a Jewish place of prayer near the river. And some of the things that we have learned in the ways in which we see in the book of Acts, we see the way in which God was working. We see Lydia, the dealer in purple cloth, a highly successful woman of business. She believed in God, and she encountered and accepted Jesus' teaching. And she and her entire family were baptized and began to walk according to Jesus' teachings, became followers of the way. So here, God is at work. We see this businesswoman, a prominent individual. But then other things that we encounter, we see, one, a slave girl who was delivered from demonic oppression in the same community. And we see elsewhere in Philippi where a jailer and his entire family come to know the Lord because of His goodness. And there was profound movement of God through the work of the Holy Spirit. But now just look at that little snapshot, and we see quite a unique church that's beginning to form. It's a church of different varieties of people. It's not a collection of people that all have the same background. It's not a collection of people that all have the same upbringing and experience, and even probably even in that day and age, worldview. But it was a collection of people that had all come and gathered in God's name to follow the teachings of Jesus. And God was doing something profound in them. And Paul, during his second missionary journey, is establishing the church here, and he is speaking a word of exhortation, speaking a word of encouragement to this fledgling church that's beginning to take hold in the community and beginning through the work of the Holy Spirit to transform the landscape of lives. And that is the purpose of the church, through the work of the Holy Spirit, that God's people in community, as we are unified according to the gospel, will begin to transform community. The unity that comes through humility. The humility to know that it is God that is doing the work, and that it is us that is doing the submitting to God's will, purpose, and plan. So God is at work. Paul begins to speak. He brings this word of exhortation or encouragement to this early church. It's a little bit different than, let's say, the church in Corinth. Corinth was a hotbed of turmoil and chaos, and the church is really flourishing, but there's combativeness and there's challenges. And here, it's not quite the same thing, but there's this unique gathering of people, and Paul wants to speak and challenge and encourage them. So he speaks four things in terms of how they as a church have experienced the movement of God up to this point. And that is that he makes these four if statements. Now, if isn't the right word for us. In the Greek language, a better word for us would be translated since. And I can't remember what I was reading about in terms of, Pastor James could maybe speak to it in terms of the second participle use of this word in which Paul was speaking. For us, a better way to hear it is to say since. So since Paul is speaking to the church, the people that are following Jesus, those that are following the way, those that are establishing and forming the church in Philippi, since you have experienced encouragement. Since you have experienced encouragement from what? From being united with Christ. That which Jesus has done, and they are all finding themselves under the banner of Jesus. And there is great encouragement. And since you have experienced comfort from His love. Since you have experienced comfort, the most important thing about each and every one of us is that He loves us. And since here the church is experiencing His love, that which is most important, and they experience comfort. Since they have common sharing in the Spirit. God is at work in this community, and there's a commonality, a willingness of this early church to look for the needs of others and to share and support and build each other up. Even then, much like now, it goes in contradiction to what the world would say. Here they are experiencing this common sharing because of the way in which the Holy Spirit was at work in their community. And since you've experienced tenderness and compassion, since you have experienced tenderness and compassion because of the love that God has for you through Christ. His encouragement was to the believers and to those who were following the teachings of Jesus. But what is profound is here we find himself, Paul, taking them, much like we need to today, back to the basics. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11, this beautiful poetic section that is a return to that which Jesus has done for us. It's the message of the cross. It's the message of Christ. It's the good news of God's love for us and His willingness to send His Son, Jesus, into the world on our behalf. And we hear in 6 through 11, speaking of Jesus, Paul writes, "Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. With God, something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Jesus didn't empty, he became 100% man. He didn't stop becoming God, but he entered in and he took upon himself the very form of a servant on our behalf. And in that service, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. May we know what it is to be obedient, to be humble, and that unity that comes to the body of Christ together as we walk in obedience. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, the name that is that of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, returning to the basics, hear this. Even then, shortly after Christ's resurrection and ascension, and the church is beginning to flourish and begin to, the work of the Holy Spirit is changing the landscape. Even then, they needed to return to the basics, the story of that which Jesus had done on their behalf, on our behalf. And we, as followers of Jesus, as we, as an outpost of heaven, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we need to always be reminded to return to the basics, the story of Jesus, to be reminded that Jesus is God's Son. He didn't act according to his own will and purpose and plan for his own advantage. He didn't put himself first. He was obedient to the will of the Father. And in so doing, willingly headed to the cross on our behalf and took upon his shoulders our sin and took them to the tomb. He humbled himself and became a servant. Even unto death, he remained humble. Therefore, in his humility, he was exalted to the highest place. His name is above all names. We see and hear and understand God's rescue plan is that all creation would be drawn into right relationship with the Father through Jesus by the work of the Holy Spirit. That every knee would bow. All of creation, that is the beautiful place to be, on our knees, humble, united in Christ. And who receives the glory? God the Father. He receives the glory and the praise. As believers today, we need to be focused and reminded of the going back to the basics. As Christ followers, we are invited to understand the powerful way in which we, the church, can reflect God's goodness to the world by being the church that he intended. You're hearing me talk a lot about the church because, again, we started with this. In our culture, in our world, we think in terms of me, 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 I. We live in this individualistic world, but God's got something bigger and more powerful and more beautiful, and that is to be united according to the gospel and the good news of Jesus. And as an outpost of heaven, we have the opportunity to proclaim and reflect God's goodness to the world. Unity is not just a tagline. It's near and dear to God's heart. It's part of his mission plan for us, so much so that in John chapter 17, Jesus, before dying on the cross, before going and paying that ultimate price, that sacrifice for us, Jesus prays for himself, Jesus prays for his disciples, and Jesus prays for you and I. Put your name in this prayer. Jesus himself prays, "My prayer is not for them alone," them being the disciples. "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe." Jesus prayed for the unity of the body of Christ, that we would be with him and the Father. As he and the Father are one, we are called to be reflecting the good news of God the Father, the gift of Jesus, the work of the Holy Spirit. Who receives all the praise and the glory? God the Father. What is the outcome of us being united in the good news of Jesus? Well, the world will know that Jesus is Lord. The world will see Jesus and know Jesus and hear the gospel. We see this reflected. God's plan is higher than our plan. God's ways are better than our ways. We see it reflected in the other passages that we read. Psalm 1, we hear about the righteous and the wicked. Those that are righteous, those that are in right relationship, walking according to God's will, purpose, and plan, God is watching over, and God is providing favor, and God is blessing and encouraging. And just like the Philippians, they were experiencing encouragement and tenderness and compassion. And those that are wicked are outside of God's will, purpose, and plan, and walking according to their own desires. We hear in Ezekiel that God is at work, and God is the one that is replacing the heart of stone and replacing it with the heart of flesh. That our center would be God. That our everything would be a place of goodness and righteousness because of what God has done. And we hear in Luke, good fruit or bad fruit? What flows out of our hearts? Are we hidden in the shadow of his wing? Or are we walking according to our plan, our purpose, our desires? As Christ followers, I long for each and every one of us to reflect God's goodness and his mercy, just as Paul challenged to put these things into practice. As a church, let us then consider these four exhortations and how they might become part of our DNA. As we as a church look to love God, love others, and make disciples, how may we be more obedient to the will and purpose and plan of our Father? So let's put these four things that Paul challenges the church in Philippians 2 to consider. We heard, since you've experienced these things. And now we hear Paul challenging and saying, this is what the church should look like. This is what the church should look like so that the world may see Jesus. The world should see a church that is being like-minded. Being like-minded is that the more we are in tune with the Father's heart, that we become not that you and I are constantly in agreement, that we become like-minded in terms of what you and I are thinking and feeling and doing, but rather the more that we get close to the Father, the more we become like him, the more we reflect him to the world and less of ourselves. That is the purpose of the church. That is the purpose, the good news of the church. May we have the same love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we know what love is because he first loved us. That we may have that same love and reflect it to the world every opportunity that we can. Our invitation as a congregation is to love God, to love others, and make disciples. May we put ourselves intentionally in the place where we experience his love so that we may love him and love others according to his will, purpose, and plan. And may we be in one spirit and mind. It goes beyond just mere agreement. It's rather representing a rare state of relational intimacy that comes through the body of Christ. As we draw near to him, God strengthens the body, the church, so that he would be reflected to the world. And may we be simply reminded that we should, as a church, and yes, as individuals, but as a body of believers, as an outpost of heaven, may we reflect God to the world by doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, may we put a higher value on those that are around us. May we value others above ourselves, not looking to your own interests, but rather to the interests of others that are around us. May we care for our community. May we care for God's world. May we care for God's people. May we, as Christ followers, known as Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, experience the unity that comes through the work of the Father. through Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, may we experience humility as we serve and as we walk in obedience. And all these things we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.